I spoke to Professor Pierre de Vos about this a couple of weeks ago. Pierre is, as I'm sure you know by now, the Claude Leon Foundation Chair in Constitutional Governance and Constitutional Law at UCT. And in that conversation, he said there are no good options here. Every option which sees the election being postponed is a bad option. Pierre, good afternoon. I'm sure you've been chatting about this with constitutional law colleagues and thinking about it some more yourself. Is that still your view?
Yes, and now if the situation is even more difficult because in terms of the law, the voters' roll cannot be updated from the day that the election is called, which happened earlier this week. And of course, we know that only 18,000 people registered to vote online in the last 8 months. So many voters will be disenfranchised unless they change the law, or unless there's a postponement, or unless the Constitutional Court ordered them to go ahead and have another voter registration before the election in October.
It would help, I suppose, if both of us had read the papers that the IC is filing, but they're only filing them this afternoon, so we haven't had access to them yet. So we're not quite sure whether they have found a constitutional sweet spot to allow this to happen.
Yes, so I'm looking for the papers. I haven't found them yet. The best argument that I've heard so far is that the Constitutional Court has said in the past that you have to read all the sections of the Constitution harmoniously. Here, there's a seemingly a tension between the section that says 5 years, there must be election before the end of that or within 90 days, and the other one is that there must be free and fair election. So if they're going to manage this, they might say, well, we have to read these two together, and together it means that the one section cannot operate because there cannot be a free and fair election. But as I said last time, the difficulty there is they would have to have evidence that it wasn't the IEC or whoever who didn't do their job, but that it really is now that it's impossible to have a free and fair election.
It really is putting quite a lot of pressure on the Constitutional Court, because if they are of a mind to say, despite the recommendation from our distinguished former colleague Dikgang Moseneke, we disagree, we think that it is in the interests of constitutional democracy that the election be held per the time frame which the Constitution stipulates, I mean, that puts the IC in an impossible position, because I presume that they are continuing to prepare for the election in case they are directed to hold it at the end of October. And this is not an easy thing for the Constitutional Court to decide. So it's not something that they can and should be deciding quickly, unless they have coffee on Wednesday morning next week and all decide that they feel exactly the same way and somebody writes the judgment and there we go. But that doesn't seem likely given the constitutional thorniness of this.
Yes. So as I've written before, there's no easy option. But despite the fact that changing the Constitution is quite a momentous thing, I think it would have been better to go that route, because now you're asking a court, 11 in the, at the moment really only 8 people, to make these momentous decisions about democracy, and it really should be the parliament who does that kind of thing. But of course, nobody seems to have remembered that there is a pandemic and that there might be a problem. And they could have done so if it was really planned ahead. One could imagine an amendment that would only apply to this particular case or whatever. But no, that ship has sailed because it's too late.
And do you have any idea how this might work? I don't suppose we do, because this is unprecedented. I mean, usually there would be argument for and argument against, and I don't know whether the Constitutional Court is going to allow the Democratic Alliance, for example, which doesn't want the elections to be postponed, to brief counsel and have counsel argue against the postponement of the elections as part of this proceedings. Do you have any thoughts?
Yes, I think the court has always been eager for all the arguments to be heard. So if there is not a quote-unquote opponent, then if amicus curiae wants to come in, the court will really welcome that to argue the other side. So I cannot imagine that they would say, no, we won't hear you, because they want to hear all the arguments that they can make a better judgment.
How's this going to end up, Professor Pierre de Force? Come on, you're a professor. You're supposed to have answers. Think.
Oh, well,
you know, I'm a callow 19-year-old student asking professor for advice and guidance. Help me. Where's this going to end up? We don't know.
Yes. So I really don't know. I almost hope that the Constitutional Court will just say no. You have to just make it work, because there are no guarantees. But given everything that has happened, and given the fact that the IEC has waited so long, they're almost playing Russian roulette with the Constitutional Court and said, well, it's too late now. We haven't done enough to make it even possible for there to be an election, so you have to postpone. So if I had a gun against my own head, I would probably say, very sadly so, because I don't think the court should do that or be put in a position to do that, that they will extend the vote until next year.
Thank you very much, Professor Pierre de Force. That was recorded. UCT's Claude Leon Foundation Chair in Constitutional Governance and Constitutional Law.